Well, 82 is the number. There's 82 days until Christmas. Is that crazy or what? You know, it seems like that's forever from now, but for some Christmas-minded people, you know, this is the time everybody gets thinking about what are you going to get your special loved ones, and, you know, it's that time thinking. So I did some research, and I found out what are the most extravagant gifts that are going to be given out this Christmas, and not a one of them is on my list, but I'm going to share them with you, all right? Tommy Ford cologne for men, $125 a bottle. Man, that's some expensive smell right there. Alexander McQueen Blackberry holder for gals, $195. I think an Amazon case holder is just fine. Chocolates from Paris, France, $275. Well, what about this, gals? A Gryphon faux fur baseball jacket for $515. Go Red Sox, Yankees on the other side, right? What about this, ladies? Now, this might fit your fancy. A Dolce & Gabbana Miss Sicily leather purse, $1,875. Now, that would be nice to carry around, right? All right, guys, and this last one is for you. Are you ready for this? Authentic camel hair coat for men, $2,295. All for yours under the Christmas tree. Now, I can't be as extravagant as that with you this morning or get that under your trees, but if you look in the green bowl, I brought you some great extravagant chocolate and Hershey's Kisses, all right? So there you go. So that's there for you. But the reality is that all of us, we live in a culture that communicates and lives out the message that it's really better than to get than it is to give. I mean, that's the reality of the world that we live in. But I want us to look at a profound event in the life of Mary of Bethany and the extravagant gift that she shared with the Lord, that she gave the Lord. So this morning I want us to learn from Mary of Bethany's example and what it means to be extravagant. As we will see, Mary was moved to be extravagant in her worship and love and in her service to God. So I want to talk to you this morning on a topic of offering an extravagant gift and invite your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, on offering an extravagant gift. In John chapter 12, we're in Mary's and Martha's home in Bethany. And some have suggested that this was a celebration dinner because of Lazarus' miraculous resurrection. So we have Mary and Martha there, Lazarus is there, Jesus is there, the disciples are there as well. And it was at this time, 1 week before the Passover, that Mary demonstrates what it means to be extravagant. Let's look in verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, in verse 1, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was the one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day for my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." In the previous chapter, in chapter 11, we see Jesus had given the extravagant gift of life to Lazarus by raising him from the dead. And we see that Martha and Mary had the gift of getting their brother back. And, you know, when we think about the gifts and the spiritual blessings that come from a personal relationship with God, there's just so many for us to name and to number. So what extravagant gifts has Christ provided for those who believe and profess the name of the Lord? Well, I look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and you don't have to turn there. But it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So in Christ, we have the gift of adoption according to Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ, we have the gift of redemption. In Christ, we have the gift of forgiveness. In Christ, we have the gift of an inheritance. In Christ, we have the gift of being sealed. So how can we summarize Christ's extravagant gift to humankind? Well, first of all, I want us to see that it was an expensive gift. He left the majesty of heaven and the worship of angels. He took upon himself the image of a human being. And we can agree that it costs God something for His Son to come into the world to be our Savior. It was a sacrificial gift. Understand that God did not have to save us. God did not have to send His Son. You know, when I think about this sacrificial gift, I think about His birth and His coming into the world for humanity. Now, today's a pretty awesome day for our family. This is October the 4th, and this is my one and only daughter's birthday today. She is 14, heaven help us, all right? So, but you know, before Brianna came into this world, we're thinking, oh, we're going to have a baby girl. I wonder what she's going to be like. What's her personality going to be like? We know now, but then we were wondering, what is she going to do in life? And what is she going to become? And we still wonder about those questions. We wonder. And you know, when a husband and wife get pregnant and they're thinking about their child and who they're going to become and what they're going to be like, you know, it's a joy, but ultimately like, well, what is my daughter going to be like? What is my son going to be like? What are they going to do in life? And we wonder in awe of what that's going to be like. But, you know, in Scripture, we don't see an example of any biblical couples outside of Mary and Joseph and certainly none of those in modern times of parents who live with the reality that the only reason that their child was born was to die for the sins of others. So it was a sacrifice for Christ to die a criminal's death on our behalf. It was a criticized gift when we think about Christ's gift to us. Almost everywhere Jesus went, He was criticized. Those who could have been listening to His words that would have led them to salvation, rather they mock and criticize. And even upon the cross, Jesus was mocked and criticized at the very moment that He was accomplishing salvation for all of us. It was a remembered gift. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we remember a broken body for us. We remember Christ's blood shed for our sins. We remember the gift that He's given to us. In Easter and Christmas time, we remember His coming into the world to be a propitiation for our sins. So how do we respond to the blessings of Christ and the extravagant gift of who He is and what He's given to humankind? And how can we be extravagant because of the gift that He's given us? I want us to look at Mary of Bethany. And I want us to notice four things in here about Mary's extravagant gift in Christ. And what my hope is that we would see how we can be extravagant in the same manner that Mary was. In verse 3, we see that Mary took the pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary pours out the most expensive thing that she owns to demonstrate her love and adoration for the Lord. And we think of this spikenard. This is a very costly oil. It was imported from northern India in extract. In its purest form, it's very expensive. And the cost imported made it expensive. And we see in verse 5 that Judas immediately puts a price tag on this spikenard at 300 denarii. Now, if you take that is equivalent to the annual wages of a common worker. So we can put it at about $20,000 today as an estimate in dollars today. So this was a very expensive gift that she's pouring out upon Jesus' feet at this time. And you know, then while this passage doesn't speak of the alabaster vase that was used that held the spikenard, if it was, you know, it's likely that if it was an expensive vase, that it would have added to the value as well. And so, you know, when I look at this passage and I think about Mary's expensive, extravagant gift that she's given, you know, I think about what I've seen over the past 20 years in ministry. And when I think about what we give is a response to Christ's gift to us, I see a lot of times that we're giving God the leftovers in our lives and rather than the best. Lord, just let me get through college. Lord, let me get a house. Let me get married. Let me have some kids. Let me walk the ladder of success. And then, God, maybe I will give you what's left of my life. Let me get my life settled, and then I'll give you my life. Why is it that we withhold the sharpness of our minds, the strength of our bodies, and the passion of our hearts from God when we are the youngest and we can give the most, we can give the best to God? Why is it so many times that we want to give God the leftovers of our lives rather than the best? And we see that Martha gave the best that she had. Romans 12:1 reminds us of this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Can I say this morning that God wants the best of your life? Don't waste your youth on frivolous things. He wants the best of you. He isn't interested in leftovers this morning. He wants all of you. He's looking for each of us to offer an extravagant sacrifice, a gift that He can mold and shape to impact the kingdom of God and the lives of other individuals. So God desires us to give Him the best that we have, the best of us, and the best of who we are. Can I say this morning that the most expensive thing that you can give to God is yourself? So I'm going to ask a hard question this morning. And it's a hard question I have to ask myself. But where is God getting the leftovers in your life? Where is God getting the leftovers? Or is God getting the best of who we are? Is He getting the best of your mind? Is He giving the best of your strength? Is He getting the best of your service? You see, Mary gave an expensive gift. She gave the best that she had. But we also see that not only was her gift expensive, her gift was sacrificial. Now, some have suggested that this alabaster vase containing the oil was Mary's dowry. It was what she would have used to give when getting prepared for marriage. Because in Jewish culture, that they were expected to bring a dowry, some significant gift into the marriage union. So if Mary would have been giving this, she would have been sacrificing her hopes of getting married. If this is the case, Mary had been sacrificing her reputation because unmarried Jewish girls would not look upon on favor. But this was most likely the only thing that she had of financial worth in her possession. But when we see this gift that she's given, she's doing it because of the deep gratitude that she had, because she knew, she understood that Christ was getting ready to go to the cross, that He was getting ready to go accomplish salvation for her, that she could spend eternity in heaven with Him. And because of that, she was unconcerned about the expense of the gift that she was giving. She was unconcerned about what would happen to her financially. She was unconcerned about what was going to happen to her reputation. Instead, she wanted to give a sacrificial gift. So where do we see that kind of love and selflessness by those who call themselves Christians? Where are those young adults today who are passionate and are willing to give their best to Christ, who are willing to be sacrificial in their relationship with God? God is looking for a generation of people who will not live life to themselves and for their own personal interests, but we will be sacrificial for those yet to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, so that one day they can be in heaven with you. So He's looking for people who will sacrifice. So I'm asking this morning, who and what are you sacrificing your life for? Will you sacrifice yourself for a career? That's not what we're training you here for. We're training you for ministry. And each one of you are coming in to being trained in ministry, and ministry is a life of service, and it is a life of giving. And your professors attest the fact it's a sacrificial ministry, and they're giving a sacrificial gift. So what are we bringing? Will we sacrifice for a generation of peers who are dying and going into eternal separation without your witness, separation from God without your witness? But here's something interesting, is her gift was criticized. Verse 5 and 6. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii given to the poor? You know, it didn't take Judas too long to jump in and question what Mary had done. We could picture Judas sitting back. Oh, what a waste. What a waste that she just made. Why did she do that? That was thousands of dollars that she just wasted and poured out. You know, Mary was understood. She was criticized because she gave her best. And understand, when you adhere to being readied and trained for gospel ministry, people are going to criticize that. Our culture and world says that your biblical training, that higher Christian education, you being prepared to preach and to counsel and to sing to the Lord, to pray, to give, and to serve, and to lift up the name of Jesus, for some in our culture and world, they see that as a waste. And when we as believers settle for mediocrity in what we give God, when we have our lives on the fence with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and we're given leftovers for God, we validate their claim. But understand this morning that if you are a disciple of the Most High and that you seek to live a life holy unto Him, that there's going to be criticism. I never planned to be in ministry, and I certainly didn't think I'd be a preacher. I didn't want to do that. I'm a science guy. I love science. I'm like Dr. Francis back there. We love that stuff. We love dissecting pigs and all that cool stuff. Well, you know, I never intended to do this with my life. This wasn't my game plan. And so in 2000, when I became ordained, I made a decision. I was going to email all my college friends and tell them God's call upon my life. And so I did. And this was before Facebook, so you had to send out mass emails, right? And here was the reply. Brian, are you sure this is what you want to do with your life? You have such hope and promise of being a good scientist and having a prestigious scientific or medical job. Someone else responds, I don't understand. Are you sure this is what you want to do with your life? But the one that really got me was this. Why are you going to waste your life on a religion? Listen, when someone criticizes your call to ministry, and when you are pouring out all that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ, understand this. God knows and He remembers that this is the highest form of worship when you give that to Him. So whose approval will you live for? The world's or God's approval? But here's the one I like. Her gift was remembered. Think for a moment for the smell that's in the room. We remember smells, don't we? I'm sure when you eat one of these chocolate kisses here in a Hershey Kisses, it's going to have a good smell to it. At least I hope so. But you know, Mary's extravagant gift filled that room with an unforgettable fragrance. Jesus accepted her gift and her sacrifice, her extravagant gift. He accepted it and said, you'll be remembered for doing this very act. And I want to say this to each of you who are here training. Your life is an alabaster vase. And the life that you live and what you do with your life is the fragrance and the perfume that people will remember. And I think the people that will remember it most are those who enter heaven because you were faithful and sacrificial and you gave your life as an extravagant gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will remember when they stand in heaven with you because you gave. I don't know when God is going to call any of us out into eternity, but I want to leave you with this challenge in your life. Be extravagant now. Hold nothing back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are this morning, and we thank you for your word. Father, when we think about the sacrifice that you have made for us, Lord, our sacrifice or anything that we would do in return pales in comparison of the gift that you have given us. Father, this morning I pray for each of these students here that in a world who doesn't care, in a world that criticizes our ministry and the sacrifices that we make to bring the gospel to people who need it, Lord, I pray that we would have no regrets. And I pray that you would strengthen each and every student here. Give them the resolve to be like Mary and to hold nothing back. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.